Chapter 1. Racism is a white person's problem. The moment we choose to love, we begin to move against domination, against oppression. The moment we choose to love, we begin to move towards freedom, to act in ways that liberate ourselves and others. Bell Hooks, 2006, page 298. When I first started learning about racism, I thought the goal of every race conversation was to make me feel bad. Not me specifically, but white people in general. I came away from race conversations feeling guilty about being white, uncertain about myself, and out of touch with the proficiency and skill with which I faced most other aspects of my life. Because of this, I assumed that feeling guilty was my task. It's a hard job, but somebody has to do it. Finally, something tangible I can do for racial justice. And beyond that, I thought that if I could make other white people feel guilty, my friends, my students, my father, especially my father, I could compound my already significant contribution. I set out to make all the white people I knew do penance for our racial inheritance. Honestly, these thoughts didn't come through me consciously as I've laid them out here. But because I felt raw and unresolved about my own white identity and privilege, I reached out to other white people from a place of woundedness, yearning for validation, ready to defend. Every conversation was a setup for one of us to win and one of us to lose. Even in multiracial conversations, I could join only from a place of sin and sorrow, with no room for liberation. In this mindset, I experienced race conversations as a dead end, a cul-de-sac. We all traveled together down the dead-end street of race talk, made a few loops around the cul-de-sac of shame and guilt, for me, anger and sadness, for others, frustration and anxiety, for others, and then traveled out the same way we entered. We felt bad together. And inexplicably, that was how I believed we would end racism. What I now know is that the road does not dead end at all. It meets a roundabout, not a cul-de-sac. The roundabout is a place where we pause, reflect, and take a few turns around the circle before we decide what happens next. We talk about the racial dynamics that have played out so far on our journey. We look again at where we came from and where we are going. And while we can see where we came from as we round the circle, we don't return to that place as we would from a dead end. We choose a path forward together. Race conversations do produce feelings of guilt, shame, anger, sadness, frustration, and anxiety in many people, not just me, and not just white people. But when any particular race conversation comes to a close, we are changed by the humanity we have shared with one another. We are changed by our deeper understanding of how the systems within which we live have affected us on personal, group, familial, and ancestral levels. And because we are changed, we cannot go back the way we came. The only way out is onward, toward the next roundabout. When we brave this conversation, when we face this history, we put ourselves on a road, a path that leads us closer to racial justice. Racism is not a person of color's problem. James Baldwin, 1924 to 1987, was widely renowned for his novels, essays, and plays, as well as his unflinching willingness to look at racism and ask others to do the same. Among his numerous insights into race in the United States, he often implored people to see that racism is not a person of color's or native person's problem, as it is so often framed.